Into All the World, in their Manual of Doctrine, the Moravians discuss the responsibilities of pilgrims sent out to tell the world about Christ. Q. What do they wait for in the execution of their charge? A. For Open Doors 1 Cor 16, 9 Guatemalan Quetzals. What is the sign of this? A. Many adversaries. Q. Where is it best to preach? A. Where Christ is yet unknown. Q. Why? That one might not build upon another man's foundation. But along with scriptural theory, they had a wealth of practical experience to draw from. Christian David, for years a roving evangelist and daring knight of the kingdom, rode on a journey to Latvia in 1729. A person unwilling to move from place to place and to live among the common people, or one who cannot survive in poverty, would not get much accomplished here in Livonia. In the 4 months I have spent here at the Walmerschaff, I have suffered more hunger and thirst than I did in Herrnhut during 8 years. The one who seeks souls dare seek nothing else, or he loses himself. In another letter, Christian David wrote to seekers at Nuremberg, "To evangelize effectively, one must remember how the dear Savior once assumed the form of a servant, and while among poor blind people, sat down at their feet. He knew how to fit in anywhere to win people over and persuade them. Even today he adjusts his message to fit all people with their religions, customs, and practices. He gives all of them in every place the most suitable freedom, gifts, powers, and mediators. In the same way, God's children today should live irreproachably and like true Christians among those that are outside, seeking to remove their prejudice in every conceivable way, approaching them with deference, answering all questions modestly, being of service to them, and showing them love on first opportunity. In all things concerning the church, they should seek to adapt themselves, not staying away from public services unless necessary, not abusing the freedom of the children of God, but according to love willingly becoming servants that correctly use what others abuse. They should hallow what others profane, willingly fellowshipping with them in their degenerate sects, but only as the good salt of the earth, and to become all things to all men. One does not start by telling heathen people about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, decided the brothers in a meeting at Herrnhut. Rather, one must start by telling them of the Savior. Then, when they are children of God, one may go on to speak to them about the Father, the Spirit, and the Holy Three in One. Several years later, they added, among the heathen, one must not speak in an abstract way about a great Spirit or similar concepts. One must speak directly and at once about Jesus our Savior. One must seek to develop the friendship and inclinations of the people toward Him. Then out of the concept of the Savior comes their understanding of God. An early Moravian pilgrim to the West Indies wrote, "The Methodists' way of converting people is to shake them over hell, but of the loving Jesus one hears very little. They teach that one must be holy for God to accept us." In contrast to this, the brothers at Herrnhut wrote in 1739, "Our plan of action as a church is to aim for the heart at once. We attempt to bring all people to a knowledge of Jesus the Crucified One in their hearts, and to see the value of His wounds as the most important thing, so that it may remain their motivation from that point on for the rest of their lives." In a meeting on August 21, 1742, the brothers decided on 2 rules for pilgrims sent out. First, they were not to meddle into the work of other Christians. Second, they should avoid disputes with any contentious person, choosing to remain quiet rather than to argue. On meeting contentious people, they should hear them out, then answer with a terse, "That is my view too," or "I do not believe that way," and avoid further argument. "What we teach must be so simple," the brothers agreed, "that whoever wants to argue against us must find himself in the position of speaking against the clear light of the sun. We must be very careful how we refute what others say." Wherever they went, the Moravians held to a clear plan of action. In some places they established home communities. In others they simply encouraged seekers in forming fellowships of their own. To bring the gospel to the heathen and to establish colonies, they concluded in 1747, are 2 different matters. In the latter case, the brothers and sisters must prosper in a material way to keep on living. But in the former, they must be resolved to lay material pursuits aside. Then, no matter what their calling or how they adapted themselves to local situations, Ludwig von Zinzendorf's words applied. If we continue faithful and preach nothing to any one but what the Holy Ghost has already told them in the Spirit, we shall see true and lasting fruit, even though the numbers and noise may be less. The Savior's Church, the first purpose of Christ's death was to save us from sin, wrote the brothers at Herrnhut. The second purpose was to bring all of us scattered children of God together in one spirit, in one soul, in one invisible, and finally in a local, visible body. To this they added, every soul must deal directly with the Savior. We dare not become middlemen in the process. The Savior must deal personally with every soul, or else the soul has nothing. The all-satisfying heart religion is a matter between the individual and the Savior alone. But as soon as it becomes a matter between Jesus and I, and this one and that one as well, it is the Gemein, community. In the community of believers, the Holy Ghost is prophet, Christ is priest, and we the members are the little church. Describing this Gemeinschaft, community, fellowship of believers, a hernet hymn writer wrote, Gemeinschaft with the children of God, how sweet and good it is. Gemeinschaft in the ridicule we face, Gemeinschaft in steady peace, Gemeinschaft from the earliest stirrings of our hearts that were hard as stone, Gemeinschaft on the journey through the valley of the shadow of death to the highway of life. Unknown treasures of the kingdom of the cross open up to us when we begin to struggle in Gemeinschaft and become as brothers and sisters one to another. Man was not meant to be alone. Neither did Jesus design the new life to be lived in the wilderness. Brothers, let us all take care, lest the sweet unity that promises success to what we do, the unity that is our hope of victory in battle, the treasure of the elect, and the entertainment of heroes on their days of rest, should break down. Remember, souls, the brothers and sisters who love you, prepare to use for one another the beautiful gifts you received on entering Jesus' kingdom. You men, pray without wavering. You women, teach without using words. Young men, struggle against flesh and the devil. Young women, pursue quietness. All of you, run until you grab the prize. Remember, the whole world rests on rotting pillars. Our work shall stand against it. Let some, diligently supported by the rest, go and engender Jesus' souls. Let us all permit ourselves to be elected ornaments for Salem, the glory and praise of God's city of peace. For as much as the believers at Hernhut valued their church community, they did not put it into the place of Christ. The one who develops a close relationship with the church, but who does not know the Savior, the brothers agreed in 1749, is a dangerous person. Through people like this, many are brought to ruin. At the same time, they made it clear they did not consider Hernhut all there was to the Church of Christ. The Moravian Church dare not be looked at as synonymous with the Church of God, the brothers agreed. Even though there may be as many as 20 Christian groups in the world, there is only one Christian church, one family of God, with one heart and one head. This is the church of all that look to the Savior. After receiving a sister back into the congregation, from which she had been excommunicated, an early Moravian pilgrim to Suriname wrote, "In a meeting for the whole congregation, we explained our service in the gospel, and the name Hernhut are usually attached to us. That caused all manner of misconceptions and misunderstandings." Far too many times people compare the Hernhuter Church, the Hernhuter doctrines, or even the Hernhuter religion with the Lutheran, Reformed, or other Christian churches in Judaism. We told the congregation how they ought to see themselves simply as members one of another in our Brudergemeinde, brothers' community, and how our Brudergemeinde in turn is simply a tiny segment of the whole church, the true church and Gemeinde of Christ, partially visible and partially invisible over the face of the earth. Our heart's desire is that everyone who wants to belong to the church will not rest until the Spirit of Christ has made him a member of the living church and body of Christ. If this would be our goal and become a reality among us, it would not happen so often that baptized and communicant members hide sin, covering it up with lies and hypocrisy, only to keep on being counted as brothers and sisters or members of the Hernhuter Church. Brother Joseph, thinking of similar problems, wrote, "Christianity, that is, all who preach Christ and are called Christians, has been broken up into many groups. Now, if every one of those groups lived as closely as possible to the truths with which it has been entrusted, if everyone tried continually to lessen its errors and abuses, they might all exist near one another without getting into each other's way. But if any one of these groups begins to presume it is the Church of Christ, or to present itself as the only church in which a man can be saved, it judges itself too leniently and others too severely. We cannot deny that some groups are more attractive than others, and that more of the gospel's truth is to be found in some than in others. In the same way, more hindrances to the way of godliness may be found in some, and the rules and constitution of others are more in agreement with the Bible. Some leave more room for errors against the doctrine of Jesus, and others control scandalous vices and sins more effectively, etc. Nevertheless, we may hope in God that He will bring many seeking souls to grace in every one of these groups." Even in Elijah's idolatrous times, the Lord had reserved 7,000 to Himself that had not bowed their knee to Baal. In the same way today, even though apostasy is everywhere visible, who would doubt that His power can do the same again? Who would doubt that the Good Shepherd can preserve His sheep, those who know His voice and follow Him in simplicity and truth, in and among all the Christian groups? Certainly the Moravians believed in an ecumenical and Catholic church, the undivided body of Christ in its entirety, but they believed just as firmly in the need for visible church communities. Ludwig von Zinzendorf wrote, "The community of God in the Spirit may be called the invisible church of Christ, as described in Hebrews 12. This is the church everyone enters when he is born again. It is the church above, but there is also a church below, a visible church. The visible church is either militant or triumphant. The militant church, out of the wisdom of God, has not been unified, neither in belief nor practice, ever since the days of the apostles, except in those places where it has had an outward communion. There the church is to unite it in order, in love, and in basic beliefs, and the brothers who separate themselves from such a congregation are heretics with the spirit of Korah. These little visible churches are not stationary nor permanent. The invisible church has many members that do not know the blessing of belonging to such visible congregations. Many of them belong instead to the sects. The sects are large groups of people with one confession who do not have the power of Christ, but who confuse confessional unity for real church unity. Where children of God live in such a sect, they must discern whether it is harmful or not. Harmful sects are those that teach fundamental errors in doctrine or practice, those that use force to compel people to believe in a certain way, and those who condemn others. Such sects one dare not support nor condone. One must testify against them, and do what one can to draw together a fellowship of true followers of Christ. If this is allowed within the sect, it is all right. But if not, one must keep on witnessing fearlessly to the truth, with godliness and honesty, until one gets thrown out of it. We need to warn all men about the poison of sectarianism in belief and practice, but we should not encourage people to leave the sects at once. Such encouragement has very negative results, and if followed in the wrong spirit, can greatly hinder the work of Christ. Our church, agreed the brothers at Herrnhut, is a free city for all souls desiring to be true to their consciences. We love other churches too, both from the east and from the west, and seek quarrels with none. We do not encourage people to leave other churches to join ours. In fact, we do all we can to deter them from doing so. Our only purpose is to point all men to the head of the church himself. With this remarkable belief, Herrnhut became one of the few Christian communities as easy to leave as to join. Ludwig Girth wrote, "Among before everyone the unqualified option of going away at any time. Hearts truly laid hold of by the wounds of Jesus will not go away and get lost. Confidence among brothers may fail, but hearts preserved by Christ find their way back. Gestures of humble deference. The brothers at Herrnhut practice the Christian rites, water baptism, communion in bread and wine, the holy kiss, feet washing, and others, asking no questions, only performing with joy these gestures of humble deference for Christ. Even though they took them seriously, the Moravians did not feel that baptism or communion saved them. At the cross, the brothers agreed in 1740, the blood of Christ was sprinkled over all humanity. Therefore, all children are saved. Several years later, they added, the believer who dies unbaptized is not for that reason condemned. Concerned that none should depend on outer rites where inner conviction failed, the brothers agreed in 1753, our children are not ready to go along to communion just because they are ours and have reached years of accountability. Rather, when they individually become partakers of God's life within them, they come to the place where they need the spiritual food. Even their choir and educational system did not look to the Moravians like anything to lean on. In a meeting they took note, for the training of children, one does not necessarily need institutions like ours. The goal in our home congregations should be for all parents to educate their own children. Our ongoing need for congregational institutions is mute evidence of our shortcoming in this area. Such modest views of their own work help the Moravians to conduct their affairs in a relaxed and joyful way. In normal situations, the brothers, for instance, agreed, chosen leaders should hold communion services, but when they are gone, other honest disciples of Christ on whom the Spirit rests may well serve the congregation. Modesty also prevented unhealthy spiritual competition and a desire to demonstrate special gifts in public meetings. Christian David wrote, Jesus and the apostles usually prayed in secret, except during great and extraordinary awakenings, and this is really when one should pray in public. But when one seeks guidance in deep matters, one must do it in quietness and deal with one's innermost being. In such cases, one does not need many words. One does not need much audible prayer or outward activity. The pietists at Halle conduct prayer meetings, and that is the end of it. It may be good for beginners, but after they learn how to rattle off long wordy prayers to be heard by men, the results are nil, as examples show. A hymn writer at Herrnhut wrote, "The one who desires nothing on earth lets God's love take care of everything. His inner being remains quiet, his pulse remains normal, his heart is at rest. In the midst of all manner of dangers, his vision remains clear. Before taking part in communion, Moravian believers washed one another's feet. Their manual of doctrine stated, Q, what action did the Lord Jesus perform towards his friends before his departure? A, Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and washed his disciples' feet. Q, what compact did he make with them? Since I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. Q. Did he do it on purpose that they might copy him? A. He said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Then followed the Blessed Warrior's Meal in 6 stages. First, we need to confess our sins and forgive the sins of others. Second, we enter by faith the Holy of Holies, that is, collective awareness of being in Christ, hidden from the world and safe in the wound in his side. Only in such a condition, the Moravians believed, may communion services become meaningful to us. The 3rd stage of communion comes with the eating of the bread, Christ, the bread of life, coming into us. Only as he does this, and his presence becomes real, dispelling sin, do heavenly light and joy descend upon us. The 4th stage is the welling up of our love for him, as we remember his body, broken for us. The 5th stage is forgiveness of sins as we drink the wine and believe in the merits of the blood. The 6th and final stage is fellowship one with another around the table of the Lamb, celebrated by the holy kiss of peace. Brother Joseph wrote, Holy Communion is a mysterious enjoyment of the body and blood of Christ, that is, we enjoy the bread and wine by associating it with the body and blood of Jesus in a manner incomprehensible to us, and therefore inexpressible, whenever the Holy Supper of the Lord is enjoyed according to the mind of Jesus Christ. In 1747, the brothers agreed, In the innermost parts of the Spirit, we are with the Savior every hour and every moment. We are with literally in his presence, but in the evening meal we are also with him in a sacramental way. The 1st is for the heart. The 2nd is also for the sake of Gemeinschaft.